Hey lovelies, and welcome to The Lash Podcast, a place where we discuss all things lashes to help you scale your business and grow the lash business of your dreams. I'm your host, Sam Clancy, founder and CEO of Beauty Canada. My goal is to help you succeed by discussing relevant issues and topics in the lash industry to keep you up to date and give you the info you need to grow. Don't forget to hit the follow button on this podcast and catch us on Instagram at The Lash Podcast. Enjoy! My guest today is Alora Doe. Alora is the owner of Dime Lashes. This episode will dive into what it's like for Alora being in the industry in her young 20s and what she has learned along the way.
Okay, so welcome to the Lash Podcast, Alora.
Hi, Sam. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. You're one of the youngest ones that we've had on here, so I'm super excited to hear your story. I think there's this kind of new generation in the lash industry of younger people coming in, and I love kind of hearing about it, because a lot of our stories, like for people like me, it's like we started in a career and then we came over to lashes, and I'm loving this kind of new age where it's like you just dive right into it at a young age. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of how you got into the industry and how you got to where you are.
Okay, so like any other young person, I was working a commission-based retail job at the time that I started my lash career. I never had a full-blown like 9-to-5, like you said, a lot of people did have before. So working for this company, I was literally selling shoes that I didn't believe in. I remember I could literally sell you anything and everything because I was not to be like up my own butt, but I was kind of a good seller. So I was just remember thinking to myself, like, oh my God, like I'm making this company so much money. There's no way I can't do that for myself as well either. So I talked to my parents a little bit about it. They were kind of on board. So I was really fortunate in that sense. Didn't have any bills to pay. I just thought to myself, like, hey, if I fail, like it'll be okay. My parents will still give me a roof under to live in, like everything will be fine. So what I did was I invested $2,000 into a lash course. And at the time for me, that was a lot of money. Working almost minimum wage, that was basically all of my savings at the time. So I remember investing into that course, obviously being super, super scared. I literally started lashing off of my bed and like a little lamp, because I remember my parents were like, if you want to do this, you're going to use your own money. We're not going to help you. So I was literally lashing friends and family off my bed, using a lamp as a ring light. And then eventually, as I started making a little bit of money, that's when I invested into like a lash bed, a ring light, and all those big things. And it's so crazy to think now that at 2.5 years into my business that I was able to grow a little $2,000 investment into a full-blown six-figure business.
That's an amazing story. Yeah, I love it. I love that your parents were supportive too. And even though they said like, do it on your own, at least they were supportive of you actually kind of going that way with your career. Because I think a lot of the time there's this like sense that being a lash artist or even other beauty industry related things, it's like not a quote unquote real job. And it is. There's not only is it a real job, there's also really good money to be made in it if you do it the right way. And I think that gets missed a lot of the time.
I definitely agree. I do feel like I am a little bit lucky now, as entrepreneurship is slowly something that's becoming a lot more accepted in a lot of older people. I know my parents, for example, they were born and raised in Asia. And back then, like you needed to go to school, get your 9-to-5 and then have like a very professional career. Whereas now it's so much more accepted for people to not work that 9-to-5 and to be their own bosses and own their own businesses.
Yeah. And I think if you can get to the point, a lot of us go to school. Now, to be fair, I got a business degree, so I'm definitely now using what I learned in school to build my business. But a lot of people, it's the opposite. They went and got like a nursing degree or like some totally random thing, and then now they're in the lash industry. So really their degree is in a sense like wasted. They spent all that money, all that time. So to be able to go kind of out right out of school, or the other day I was talking to Blaze Lloyd of Lashivo. she actually started when she was in high school. And so it's like to be able to do that without going to school and not incurring that debt and finding what you want to do right away is like such an amazing thing. But I know what you're saying, because my family was like that as well. Like there wasn't a choice. You have to go to school or go into a trade like when you're done high school. And like, it just is what it is. There wasn't like a, like, maybe I'll float around for a few years and like figure out what I want to do. You just always knew that you were expected to go to school.
Yeah. I mean, I talk to a lot of people now, and even a lot of my older clients, they always tell me they don't even work in the same career that they got their original degree or certificate in at school. Everyone always tells me that it's like a waste of money and that they wish they just would have started earlier and dive into a career that they were actually invested in and not actually did that formal education.
Right. Because a lot of people just do it because they feel like they have to, or that's what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a bit, and we're kind of already on this tangent, but being young in the industry, do you feel like there's been hurdles? Like, has that kind of held you back in a way, or are there things that it's kind of given you an edge being so young? How do you feel like age has affected you in the lash industry?
I feel like age is definitely something that can be viewed as very positively, but also negatively. The first thing that really comes into mind is I remember when I first started, I used to look very like baby-like. I remember when I was 19, I was working from home. So I would open the door and ladies would literally look at me like, oh my God, like how old are you? Or they'd just be scared to come to me for services because they thought that because I was so young, I was going to butcher their lashes or not take my job seriously. So that was something that I definitely had to work on, which I guess is something that comes over time. You know, over time when you build your business, people will respect you a lot more and take you more seriously.
Yeah, I think just having that presence and marketing yourself so that people know that you do know what you're talking about, that you do care about their lashes, that you do take your business seriously, like you have to show people to earn that trust no matter what age you are.
Mm-hmm. I also feel like, especially being so young, you know, I went to university for a little bit before I dived into my lash business. And, you know, at school, like everyone just parties all the time, you know, people are always going out and stuff. And when you have a business, you can't just always like be partying until like 4 a.m. So for me, it was having to choose between either, you know, going out with my friends or staying at home and taking those extra couple of clients to really help me grow my business. So for a little bit, I really struggled with like fear of missing out. I was kind of sad for a bit because I was like, oh my God, like all my friends are partying and I have to be at home trying to work on my business. But looking back on it now, I'm definitely happy that I chose this route. And I wouldn't like obviously want it any other way.
Yeah, I was that person when I was younger that literally went out like 6 days a week. And in retrospect, if I would have like, done my shit then, not that I knew anything about the lash industry back then, but like as someone who did do that, I went to university out of town, but then came back. And so like me and all my friends were like, whatever, 19, 20, 21. And like, there was a point in time where I would go to school all day. I worked another shitty job till like 11 at night and then would literally like go from that job to the bar till 2 a.m. and then repeat the same thing every day. And I look back and I'm like, I wasted so much money and put my body through so much just to be young and dumb. So good for you for like being able to kind of recognize that you could put all that energy into your business. And like, just imagine, I started my business, I guess when I was doing the math right now, I guess I was like 27. So like, imagine where you're going to be when you're 27, because you've started so much earlier than most of us in the lash industry have. Like there's, it's only going to go up and up. So that's amazing for you.
Yeah. I feel like I'm definitely very grateful that I realized this opportunity at a young age.
Yeah.
I also do feel like I was very lucky in a sense. Like back when you first started at 27, the industry was, very small. I mean, it is still small now, but definitely a lot smaller than it is. So it's actually very easy for me to grow as well. Being young, you know, like in university, that's probably the age where you have like a ton of friends. Whereas when you get older, you know, everyone's kind of dealing with their own things and it's hard for you to just get your clients or your friends to come to you for lashes or for services. And especially with now with like social media and stuff too, like you probably didn't have like all these platforms that we do now.
No, not at all. And like, even though the platforms were there, like Instagram, for example, I like didn't post on my Instagram when I first started. I posted a little bit. And then at one point I didn't post for like a year. My business was still growing because it grew in other ways back then. But there wasn't like the focus on specifically Instagram. I used Facebook more when we first started, but Instagram was definitely not what it was. No TikTok, like nothing. Yeah. Like that. So the fact that we have such platforms now for us to help grow our businesses and engage with our clients and customers and stuff is just so amazing.
I know. I can't even imagine starting a business back in the day, because I feel like now social media is what allowed me to grow my business so far. Whereas before, I feel like you guys were all like, you know, like your flyers, a lot of friends and family referrals, word of mouth.
Like buy and sell groups on Facebook. When I first started, I think I literally got blocked from so many of them because I was like, come get your lashes done. Cheap lashes. Like totally spammy probably. But anyways, that's just what it was back then. Yeah. So let's talk about starting your own brand. So you went from, all I know so far is that you are doing lashes out of your house, and now you have a brand. Are you still doing lashes at home, or kind of what does your business look like now, and how did you, I guess, move through those steps?
Okay, so I was actually supposed to get a retail space, but obviously COVID hit and it wasn't just the right time to sign because everything's so uncertain right now. So I am still working at home for now. I started my lash brand because I started training. So when I started training, I really just started the brand to get my students in their kits. It was for me to really save on cost. Yeah. And eventually over time, as I gained a lot more students and like got a little bit bigger on Instagram, that's when I realized that this was actually another source of income that I could be making. It was a new opportunity that I thought I should really invest my money and myself in. Yeah. So that's when I really tried to push my products and then, get a whole like retail website, etc. So for me, I never started branding my own products to sell. It was kind of just for my students, but then I obviously grew into something a lot bigger.
That's amazing. I don't know if you know my story about branding. I literally was trying to be like a brand ambassador or distributor for like any lash company. I'm not going to say any of their names that would take me. And they all were like, well, you don't have enough experience in the industry, or you have a home salon without set hours, so it just won't work. Because I saw the potential to sell the products, but never once did it cross my mind at that point for me to actually like be the company. And then I just literally had one company, and they were like, they offered me to distribute, but like they were only going to give me like 20% off or something. And like, you and I both know that's not a good number.
That's like a very small profit margin. Exactly. To all that work.
So somewhere in there, she's like, you know, lash companies, they're all getting their products from the same places. Like, you just have to find good lashes and stuff. So it was basically like somebody from another company that sparked the idea of like, wow, like I could actually do this and be the distributor. And so once I figured that out, I kind of just started sampling. And I just had this moment. It was Christmas 2017. And I just like had been in a real funk at my job. And I was like, I'm just gonna go for it. And I like downloaded Alibaba and like literally went nuts.
Nice.
And it was within 5 months of that we had the website up with most of our products, because I had already been sampling for a long time, but just like kind of dipping
like
my
for fun for yourself.
Yeah, I'd just been sampling, and like I'd get a glue that like was really shitty that I had to like redo three new sets on clients, and then I'd take a break for a bit and then do it again. But anyways, once I decided, I just like hit the ground running and went commercial by June 1st of that year. I opened my location that we're in now. But in a way, for you, it's a blessing that you didn't open your commercial space before COVID hit, because it's a lot to try and keep a commercial space going when you can't work in it. Like, yeah. it's crazy. So what are your plans now? Are you waiting out COVID and then gonna make the jump, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent the last like 2 years trying to save as much money as possible. Yeah. And I obviously don't want to see that go to waste. So I definitely am trying to wait it all out. I am taking a little bit of the safe route. But like you said, like, I don't want to sign and then have to pay rent when I can't even be open. Especially now we've been in lockdown. We just started being in lockdown again, actually.
Where are you located?
Mississauga, so just outside of the Toronto area. Okay.
I'm in Peterborough, so we're not locked down yet, but you're
lucky.
Problems are trickling our way for sure.
But I mean, like, for you, like, even if you were to go in lockdown, like, you still have that e-commerce website that's able to help you with like your rent, like your money, and like all that kind of stuff. Whereas I feel like a lot of salon owners don't have their own brand, and they're kind of just going into their own pockets to pay for their rent during these.
Yeah. That was like the brand was my saving grace when we closed. And like, for me, we had quite a bit of inventory. We had switched branding. So I did like a huge inventory blowout, of kind of the old brand and stuff, which was also great. And then, I did an online course, my first ever online course. We just launched, we're in the middle of launching our second one, but, it definitely forced me to pivot and really, really think about it. I was just saying to someone the other day, when I started my business, I felt like I set it up so that if I wasn't there, it would still run. Mm-hmm. So like January, my daughter was in the hospital. We were in Toronto at SickKids, but my business still ran. I still had girls doing lashes. I still had someone filling orders, but I never, well, who could have ever predicted this, but it never crossed my mind that I needed to set my business up to run if we couldn't actually be there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, I knew I wanted to do online stuff, but never, there was just never a push to do it until COVID happened. So yeah, I'm in an interesting spot right now because our lease is expiring in June. So I'm like, do I start looking at places and like, we need a bigger space, but like, what if COVID gets worse before it gets better? Like, everybody's just in this funk right now of just waiting out to see what's going to happen.
I mean, I do try to look at a lot of things in a very positive light. So for me, I feel like COVID was a little bit of a blessing in disguise. I mean, like, you only learn when you go on the way down. You never really learn anything on the way up. So I feel like with COVID, it definitely really allowed me to open my eyes to other ways to make money in my business. And like you said, to be able to run your business in different ways when you're not there, which I definitely feel like is the goal for everyone, to be able to just make that passive income and not have to really put in the effort and the labor work.
Yeah. I think people don't realize how much work you have to put in to get to that point though. Like, my ultimate goal is like sitting on a beach drinking daiquiris while my bank account is like going ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But it takes so much work to get to that point. And I think I've said a few times too that in a way I feel like COVID was a blessing, and I say that under the pretenses of I know that it's been awful for a lot of people. It has been awful in certain ways for me and trying to kind of keep everything floating, but it has forced me to really consider what direction my business needs to go and really focus in on what makes me money and how I can make monies in the most kind of efficient way. And I'm trying to tell people, because I coach lash students, and you probably run into the same thing with your students, that even as a lash artist, there's ways you can be prepared for another lockdown. Like, start figuring out what retail you're gonna sell your clients. Start talking to them about like lash serum. So if they don't have lash extensions on and they go into lockdown again, they're gonna be like, oh, I heard there was this serum that will make my eyelashes grow when I can't have lashes on and feel like Caillou because my face looks blank. So there's lots of different things that even as lash artists that don't have kind of the brand behind them that we do can start doing to prepare themselves to have other sources of income if they can't actually be doing the hands-on work. So
I definitely agree. I mean, aside from like products or like retail products, I feel like a lot of artists can take this time to really try to revamp their brand and like get into tune with how Instagram and TikTok and all these new platforms work, so that when they are able to open again, they already develop that huge following during all this time off. And then they're going to have clients that are willing to come back running to them because they're so excited after they built all this like excitement on like social media.
For sure. One of the girls that works for me, she did so many courses during COVID and like now can offer her clients like all this new styling, and even just doing the courses and being able to talk more of the lash talk, and her clients know how educated she is, and talking to them about, oh, well, your eyes are downturned, so this time I think we're going to use a decurl at the outside because that will help open up your eyes. Like just certain stuff like that, that help build clients' trust. And then you're posting and explaining why you did that stuff. Well, then you're going to attract more people that want to come to you because they're like, oh, like you don't just go slap lashes on the same to everybody, because that's what a lot of people do. So it will definitely set you apart by getting education and just learning more about the industry and styling and all that sort of stuff if you have the downtime to do it.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go into your three biggest tips for lash artists.
Okay, so the first one that comes immediately to mind, like you said, is to keep educating yourself. So I always tell people it's super, super important to, you know, take those extra volume courses, take those extra styling courses, just to really grow your skills. Even if you go to this course, you take an online course and you only learned one thing, I always tell people that one thing would probably change your entire life and the course of your business. Even just like taking refresher courses, even if you think you're like the best of the best, you're never really going to keep being the best of the best if you don't keep growing and educating yourself.
For sure.
So another thing on top of education is just not only educating yourself in the lash industry, but also in other industries as well. So I feel like you said before, you're able to make a lot of money in lashes, and making a lot of money doesn't really matter if you don't know how to keep it or if you don't know what to do with it. So I feel like being very financially literate is super important as well. So especially now with like COVID and stuff, I like to take downtime to listen to podcasts, read new books, learn about different ways to invest my money, just to make sure that when I'm like 30, 40, I can be, you know, on the beach.
Yep, there you go.
I mean, aside from that, I also think that it's super important to never take advice from people that aren't where you want to be in the future. So I feel like a lot of the times, especially with very young lash artists, obviously they're going to be taking advice from their parents, their best friends, their aunts and uncles. And I feel like sometimes that's not always the best thing to do. I mean, these people obviously are saying things out of love, but they're not where you want to be. So taking advice from them usually won't really help you. So I feel like with that, I like to always tell people to surround yourself with very like-minded people. So, you know, follow a couple of lash girls on Instagram, talk to them in the DMs, become friends with them. And you'll realize that once you do that and kind of get away from that little barrier that they're not really competition, then you guys can kind of like help each other grow and build your business together.
I love that. Collaboration over competition. I think people, I mean, even doing this podcast at first, I'll be honest, not you specifically, but in general, I'm like, hey, am I going to have people on that are like other brands? Because they're like my competition. But we can all learn from each other. Like there is enough, same as doing lashes, there is enough out there for all of us. The industry is constantly growing. We've only tapped into like such a small portion when you compare us to like the hair industry, for example. The amount of people that get their lashes done to compared to getting their hair done is probably nowhere near yet, because lots of people still haven't tried lashes or don't know anything about them. So there is definitely enough like product consumers and clients to go around for us all. And I think if people can get past that, it's only going to help our industry grow as a whole and make it a more positive thing. I mean, even now compared to when I started, there is a lot more education and positivity around the lash industry. When I started, we were very much still in that phase of like lashes ruin your, like extensions ruin your lashes. And like, oh my God, I got them done. And like, they took all my natural lashes out and all that stuff. So now, because there's more education and more people doing it the right way, I feel like there's not such a stigma around lashes, but we still have a lot of work to do to make sure that people are doing lashes the right way and educated. And that's why, like, I love this podcast for that reason, because there's people that maybe only did a 1-day course and have no idea what else is out there, or that they should be taking more education. Or I was saying to someone last week, like, I still see people posting that you shouldn't get your lashes wet after you get them done. And like, it literally makes me cringe, but it's not their fault. It's what they were taught, and they haven't learned anything different. So if we as an industry can help educate all of us, it's going to put all of us in a better position.
No, I totally agree. I always tell people it's really important to have like an open mind, and that ideas and things are always constantly changing, and therefore you should be changing your own beliefs and ideas as well. So I remember, like, I don't know, I guess a couple years ago as well, people used to hate on like pre-made bands.
Oh my God. I was just thinking the same thing. I'm so glad you said that.
But obviously now it's something that's obviously a lot more accepted, and like, obviously that wasn't something that just happened overnight. It definitely was something that we had to really try to work into the industry. Yeah. Obviously, like I said, like, super important to consistently, like, change your ideas and kind of adapt to what's happening.
Yeah. Pre-made fans is something I am super hella passionate about. And I was really like one of the first ones in our area, if not the first one, to openly promote using them. We have people in our city that are still, I call them the bashers. They're still the ones that post like, don't ever let anybody touch you with pre-made fans, and they're going to destroy your lashes, and they're not going to last because they don't wrap properly, and blah, 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 blah. I literally did a whole episode on like dispelling the myths about pre-made fans. Yeah. But even with pre-made fans, like, part of the reason they have a bad name is because of how they've progressed. So when they were first like out, a 5D might have been made with like 5.15s or 0.10s fans. So it was way too heavy for a natural lash. And at the beginning, maybe they were ruining people's lashes, or probably they were at that weight. But then people didn't kind of follow the progression, I guess, of the product. You know, now we have 15Ds made with 0.03s, which are completely safe for a natural lash. One thing that we've run into, when you talk about kind of always being open, our pre-made fans, especially our 15D, had a fairly thick base when we first started selling them. Mm-hmm. Not damaging at all, not too heavy, but they did have a thick base. And so now there's so much new technology with like that super, super pointy base. We are in the process of kind of merging into all pointy base. So as the industry changes, products are going to change, awareness is going to change, and that's part of the reason why it's just so important to stay in tune. Even if you can't afford a course, there's tons of podcasts, not just this one. There's like Lash Boss Radio, there's Lashcast, I think is one of them. So many different free resources that people can listen to. And like you said, even if you get one thing out of listening to a half hour or hour podcast, it was free, first of all, and it's going to only help you in your career.
No, I totally agree. I feel like people don't really take into consideration how much free things are out there. I feel like you could be on Google for hours and just find everything you need and not have to pay a single dollar, which is so, so, so crazy to me.
Yeah. I always tell people that for like in my classic course, we kind of touch on lash designs and eye shapes and stuff like that. Very basic though, because I was kind of doing more and finding that people were getting so focused on lash designs and styles that they were like missing isolation and properly applying a lash. So yeah. I literally always say like, hey, we're giving you the basics here. You can go take a styling course after, or you can literally start Googling eye shapes and eye designs. And there is so much free information out there, or even like search a hashtag on Instagram. Lots of us are posting lash maps of what we did or why we did it because of what shape their eye was or how their lashes went and stuff. Even though I think it's really important to also invest in education, if you're not at the point where you can do that, there is so many free resources to kind of get you over that hump and get you started.
I agree.
All right. Well, you have a coupon code for our audience. So tell us what it is, where to find it, and then, well, we're going to put it in the show notes, but I guess where to use it. So we need to know the coupon code and your website.
Okay, so you can use the coupon code LASHPODCAST in all capitals to receive 20% off my entire website, no expiry date. So you can literally purchase anything and then just enter the coupon code at checkout and it'll be automatically applied to your entire order. And you can shop my website by visiting www.dimelashes.com/shop.
Awesome. Okay, curious, where did your name come from?
It's actually crazy because I thought of my name a couple months before I actually started my business, literally like at 4 a.m. in the morning. I think I was actually kind of drunk and it just like came to me. So I remember like rolling out of bed, like half like hungover, you know, already drunk, and just like making my Instagram account. And then I just like went back to bed, completely forgot about it for like a week. And then I was like, wait, like I actually made it. I made an Instagram account like a week ago. Like, I think I like this name. We're going to keep it.
That's so funny. I have moments like that too, where I'm like, oh my God, I have to write this down because I'm going to forget. I'll be like half asleep and I'm like, something will come to me or like some sort of new post I have to do or something like that. I'm like, hey, I literally need to write this down or I'm going to forget it.
No, I totally like am the same person. I also just like didn't, when I first started my brand, I was a lot more shy and like introverted than I am now. Yeah. So I didn't want my name to be like the face of my brand. Like I didn't want to be like Lashes by Alora or anything along those lines. So at first I feel like my name allowed me to like hide behind my business. But obviously now I'm more like on my page and everything.
Yeah, I think, well, for me actually doing this podcast, I'm a lot more outgoing than I was, but I still don't do too many videos on Instagram and stuff. I'm working on that, but definitely, I actually always tell people, like, also, if you, from like a business perspective, if you know that your business is going to eventually be not just you, probably don't put your name in it. You know what I mean? Like, some of my students are like Lashes by so-and-so or whatever, but if you know that you want to open a salon and you're going to have other people working for you, then you probably want to have something a little bit more broad.
Yeah. I mean, especially now with like Instagram, I feel like a lot of these names are taken, so you don't want to have a name that has like, I don't know, like an extra 10 like underscores at the end because somewhere you took your name. So I feel like having a name that kind of doesn't really correlate with you as a person, like your name, really allows you to kind of brand yourself. And it's easier for your clients to remember as well, as opposed to, you know, like typing like Lashes by whatever with like 30 underscores and like a dot.
Yeah, or like then they find the wrong person by accident because they missed an underscore or like added an extra S or something, if it's really, really common. Well, last thing, you might have already said this, but let's say it again, where they can find you on Instagram.
So you can find me on Instagram at Dime Lashes. We're also on TikTok as well, which I do strongly believe that if you're not on TikTok, you should create a TikTok account for your lash business right now. I do truly, truly believe that TikTok is really going to help 10x your following. So you can follow us on TikTok as well at Dime Lashes.
So is it just D-I-M-E Lashes?
Yes.
Okay. So funny you say that about TikTok because my business coach just told me, she's like, you need to get one for your business because it's going to take off. So I have that on my list of kind of to-dos, and I have a content day planned with one of the girls that works for me where she is like TikTok hero. But we're going to start doing some TikTok stuff. So I'm definitely going to go creep yours and see what kind of stuff you're doing.
Yeah, you can literally just like post your Instagram content on your TikTok, and you'll find that sometimes your content on Instagram that doesn't perform as well will perform really, really good on TikTok.
Probably because there's less people posting lash stuff on TikTok. So while it's like that, jump ahead. What she was saying too is because Reels is so important on Instagram right now, is when you're doing your TikTok, then then use that TikTok content and post it on Reels, and then that will in turn help your Instagram algorithm.
It's crazy that you said that because I found that by posting a Reel, I got literally like no joke, like 10 times the amount of engagement on my post as if I were to just post it as a regular video. I was like reading an article, and apparently Instagram right now is really pushing Reels and pushing carousels. So if you're not doing that right now, I strongly recommend that.
I know, I have that on my list too. Do you know Boss Babe at all? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Natalie from Boss Babe has been like talking about how crazy important reels are right now, because Instagram, whatever like the new thing is with them, that's where they send people to, because they want to promote it obviously within their own app. So exactly what you just said about how you could have the exact same video posted as like an IGTV or a Reels, it's going to have way better response with the Reels, because Instagram is like pushing Reels down people's throats right now.
Yeah.
So super, super good idea for people to start doing Reels. All right. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners? What comes to mind as parting words?
Never take advice from anyone if you don't want to be in their shoes.
I love it. That's really, really good advice, because I think sometimes we put too much weight on the advice of people that don't really matter. Not that they don't have good intentions, but if you kind of aren't admiring the life they're living and you want yours to look differently, then you should not be listening to their advice. So yeah, there's no nicer way to say that. And like you said before, lots of people have good intentions, but you know, we were talking about kind of our parents' generation, where they grew up, you go to school, you get a 9-to-5 job, you work till you're old, and then you retire. But you sound somewhat like me, where I'm like, I don't want to retire when I'm 55 or 65. Yeah. I want to like partially retire when I'm 40 and like enjoy my life, right? So it's a very different mindset. And I find people in our parents' generations have a lot of advice to give, but we're not necessarily wanting to go down the same path that they did. Not that it's right or wrong, but we just have a different kind of goal of what we want our older life to look like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much. This has been so awesome. And I loved hearing your story. Like I said, you're one of the youngest ones we've had on here. And I think, it's going to be super inspiring for especially the younger generation coming in, that you can kind of start from any age and build success at a young age. It's going to set you up kind of for the rest of your life.
Thank you so much for joining us today. For more information, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Lash Podcast. If you loved what you just listened to or know someone who would, please share it. Just screenshot this episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories and tag us. I would also love, love, love for you to leave a review letting me know what you think, and don't forget to include what topics you'd like to hear about on the podcast and any guests you would love to hear from. Thanks again for tuning in, and I will be here next week with a fresh new episode created just for you.